I'm David, and I'm a piss artist, and I'll go for the only expression I know is in Irish, which is Cémí le Fóite, which is apparently Celtic, because it extends to Scotland as well. Right. What would you like me to start with? Oh my God, I could do some of these powerful people and do the 12 steps and have me and have, how many cassettes you got in here? Like 4 cassettes in there. And anyone wanting one of these bloody things, I could be really, really important, but I'm not. I'm not at all important. And because this fella here he's reminded me of a particular 12 step I did, and I'll have come on to him. So how did I get here? Well, I presented myself, I rang up a certain place and I said, "Oi, my wife has left," and the fella said, "Well, come and have a chat with me tomorrow." And so I ended up, I thought, I don't want him to know too much. I remember him saying, "How much do you drink?" And it was like, "Only a couple of pints." And when I get drunk, the wife has a good laugh about it, and then we all have a good laugh, and that's it. And he asked me a load of silly questions, and it was all about my marriage, you know, it was all about my marriage, which was on the rocks, all this sort of stuff. And I was also losing a job, and I was also also trying to hide from the bailiffs because they wanted the council tax or something. Oh, the rates, yeah. And all this. And he, this geezer, he had the audacity to say to me, he said, "A doctor will tell you this if you want," he said, "but you have alcohol-related behaviour." To which I said, "Are you calling me an alcoholic?" And he said, "Oh, no." He said, "That's your privilege." You know, I knew he was a good AA member because he used to go every Monday. And as far as I knew, in London on Monday, that was the AA meeting for the week. And they all did whatever they do. You know, I knew he went on Mondays. And so anyway, he gave me this little booklet, you know, and he said, "Here you are. And there's all these meetings and you can go to any one of them." He said, "You try that one, you probably like that." He said, "Don't go to that one in Lewisham because they don't smoke there and you're a smoker." And I was a smoker there at that time. I was going through, I thought, bloody hell, there's that many? How many? And I went through the lot of them. Yeah. It started with the Akron on Monday. That was the first one, the first entry. And it ended with the Young People's Group on a Sunday on the back page. And yeah, I did them all. Yeah, no, I didn't do them all. Who's going to do 400 fucking meetings? I went to some and they was closed. But, you know, I went back to see this geezer after 4 days because my wife had sent me, been to see a solicitor and sent me the letter, you know, "We're going to divorce you," whatever it says. And so I thought, I'll fucking show you. And I went down the pub, you know, and I went down, I think it was called the Three Tons in Blackheath. And I didn't get nearly as drunk as I wanted to be, and it just wasn't working for me. And somehow I managed to get home. I don't know how. I really don't know how. And there was a TV program that was going on the rounds at the time, and it was called The Incredible Hulk, and there was this geezer on it, Dr. David Banning, and he would say, "Don't get me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry," because really, I knew exactly where he was because I went green and, you know, I went fucking mad and I pumped myself up with adrenaline if I got angry. And that's how I was. I really was as like that. And I, it was like a hair trigger. You know, it really was. It was fucking awful. So anyway, after I'd been to, after I'd got this terrible bombshell and they said, "You'll have to start again." I actually looked through these meetings and I thought, well, which one am I going to go to? And I thought, well, I'm not going to go to one that's round the corner. And people there might know me. What will they think? What will they think? Oh my God, what will they think? And so I went, my one a little bit further away and I couldn't get through the door. And I couldn't get through the back door. And I thought, oh, no, this is... And then I had them all singing away, like a lot of meetings around the back of a church hall. And perhaps they had, I found out later, they have choir practice, like, you know, on Thursday nights. So that's why they was all singing. I thought, I had a suspicion I was in the wrong place. Anyway, you know, I was also suffering pretty badly from panic attacks, and it was possibly a panic attack one time that I believed a cop car was chasing me, and he wasn't, you know. So I went and phoned one of the contact numbers, and I said, "Can I come to your meeting?" I thought you had to have permission, you know, you had to sort of be taken there, you know, under cloak and dagger and a blindfold, and shake hands three times with pressure on the third knuckle and all that. She said, "No, you go in the step, you know, around the back door and up the steps, and it's the door immediately facing you." So I went in there, and there was all these happy people sitting around. They just started up. They were all sitting around. A couple of people stood up, and one fellow stood up and he stuck his hand out, and he said his name was Alf. "Oh, right, hello, Alf, David." And there's another lady. She's pouring tea out. She pulled me out a cup of tea and just stuck it in front of me. And they pulled out a chair and stuck me there, up near the speaker. And there was this youngish man, and he was going on about, you know, the things he'd got up to, and he was a social worker or something like that, you know. And, you know, he'd go through a few things, and he said that he lost his job because he didn't wash. And I thought, well, what's that got to do with the price of eggs, you know? But he also said, you don't have to say anything, you know, you don't have to say anything. It's best you just listen. I thought, well, that's a good crack. That gets me out of all this nonsense where you've got to stand up and do this and that and the other, you know. But as they went round the room afterwards, you know, it was the feelings. People said, well, I did this because, and then I felt like that. And it was the feelings that really surprised me, because how did they know how I felt? I couldn't figure that out. I couldn't figure out how they knew how I was feeling. I feel you're all getting bored with me. And so I thought, well, what's happening? You know? And so anyway, I listened to it, and they all, you know, concluded with this little ditty at the end. And there was a fellow at the end, he was looking like Jesus Christ Superstar. And I thought, he's the alcoholic and these are all the social workers, you know. And he said, "Come up and have a chat." And he said, "Come and have a chat." He said, "Can you get to bed tonight without a drink?" Well, it was about 9:45 or something like that. I said, "Yeah, I figure I can, yeah." He said, "Well, do that." He said, "Would you like my number?" And actually the lady who poured the tea out, she said, "Would you like my number?" But I didn't get it, never did get it. So anyway, I got this number, and I felt there was this huge, all I knew was there was this huge, great big weight that was taken off my shoulders, and wasn't quite sure why, and I don't care to think about it. And there was a few things that I'd been given. One of them was several copies of Cher. I don't know if you get that magazine or if you know of it, and they have a similar one in Scotland called Roundabout. And it comes out every month, and I think it costs £1 a month or so. And the other thing that was really good for me was this little card here, and I've always got one with me. This, I love this Just For Today card. I saw this, you know, I can do anything for 12 hours if I felt it'd be impossible if I had to keep it. Too right. Yeah, and this fellow that was up the end, he told me, if he can't stay away for a drink for one day, can you manage an hour? If you can't manage an hour, can you manage a minute? And I just couldn't deny it, you know. And I remember a few nights after that, and I was sitting watching that fucking clock going tick tock, tick tock, tick, round to sort of 11:10, because at 11:10, then I was safe. I couldn't get a drink anywhere. That's how the licensing laws were then, you know. And there's I love that thing. I'll come back to that. Anyway, yeah, I sort of put one foot in front of the other, and I went around to some different meetings, and there were some that I went to and they was a bit odd. And there was one I went to, and oh my God, it was in what they call a reception centre, or otherwise known as the Spike. And they were sitting, there was people there, they were having meaningful conversations with the walls and the doors or anything else inanimate, and they would growl at anyone that seemed to be actually sort of moving, and they just growl at them, and they had a cup of charm and a wad, and they didn't pass the pot round at that meeting. I can't imagine why. You know, but I never went there because it's like the place is a dustbin for men that lived on the road, and I couldn't take it. It was really, really bad, you know. But I thought, there but for the grace of something or other, go away, you know. Yeah, and I went around to all sorts of different meetings. One of the ones that I ended up to on a regular basis was the young people's group at Mount something or Mount Street in Mayfair on a Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, I think it was. That was good for me, and it was really good. I rubbed shoulder with a few people about my own age. And another one that I ended up was at Lewisham on a Friday. Yeah, that was good. There was one at Lewisham on a Friday, there was one at Blackheath on a Saturday, and then there was the Greenwich one on Sunday, so that's later I went. You know, and I found out a lot of people were sort of going at the weekends and then they sort of disappear. And I wonder what happened to them during the weekend, during the week, because sometimes they make it back at the weekends and some of them didn't. And that's the truth of it. You know, I can only tell my truth as it was, and that's what happened. Anyway, I sort of stuck around, and I remember I sort of ended up sort of being sort of pally with three or four blokes about that time. And they was particularly wonderful at going, well, this is, you know, here we go. We do step one and then we do step two. No, they didn't do any of that. And I said, all you got to do is stick around and listen, you know. And I found when I heard people saying, I did this, you know, and I went out and I went on the thief or whatever, you know, and I felt like a complete arsehole, you know. And then I went and got drunk, you know, and I listened to people and what they've always got great ideas of how they know how they were doing it wrong this time and how they were doing it wrong the last time, but now they've got it right. And they were using expressions like, I was only paying lip service. And anyway, I stuck around with the fellas who seemed to be doing it right. I remember saying to Jimmy H one, I said, I don't know what it is with some of these people that treat you like a revolving door. You know, they're in and out like a yo-yo. And he said, well, with any luck, Dave, you never will. He said, you never will. Yeah. Now, one of the craziest, we've got to eventually go do this 12-step work, you know, help other, as it says in your, you know, I noticed on your opening page there, help others to achieve sobriety. There was one time I was I'd just come back from the telephone service telephone office after doing my regular 4 hours a month on a Saturday afternoon, and I came down and my flat had been broken into. Well, I wasn't entirely happy about that, you know, but then I thought, well, if I ask the girl that works in the shop next door downstairs, you know, she just might have seen something. So I did, and she said, oh, I know it was. It was Dave M. It was Dave M. No, it wasn't that one. It was Dave M. She said, yeah. Anyway, I knew where this character lived, so I went around his house and he wasn't there, you know. So, oh, that's all right. At least I know where it is, you know. It's not gone forever. And he'd borrowed away my portable VHS player. I had a portable VHS. Do you remember those? And you wound it up and you put coal in the back, you know, and you had to have the bellows to get it going. No, it wasn't quite there. It was fucking heavy, I tell you. Anyway, I caught up with him like the following morning, and I sort of banged on and said, have you got it? And, you know, because he had asked if he could borrow it, and I didn't really give him permission to come in through the through the window, you know, to come and get it, you know. So I was a little bit. Anyway, he said, I've just got to do something about this drink problem of mine. I said, I'll just wait. Greenwich Hospital tonight, 7 o'clock. Be there. So he didn't know what I was going on about. So anyway, what I did when he turned up, strange enough, at the bottom of the escalator at the Greenwich District Hospital, and I took him up the escalator and we went into a canteen on the third floor, and there was this bloody great big AA meeting with about 50 people in it. So he's hid at the back and he listened. And he had absolutely no idea what I was going there for, you know. He thought he was going to get beat up or something like that, you know, but he got well and truly 12-stepped. He didn't actually listen the first time, you know, but it took him a bit of a while to get going. Now, I think he was treasurer at one time of of a one local AA meeting, and he said, you didn't have to get a resentment, you know, when they're passing around the pot and there's only £2 in it and you've got to go and drink. That's all you're going to get to drink tonight, you know. Oh, there are the things that some people do, but that's fine. You know, he did actually sort of, you know, put it right in the end. And you do. Oh, anyway, so you know, we were talking yesterday or today before, someone was celebrating her birthday, a soberversary, you know, as they call it. And this was 2 years. And I, for some reason, I don't really remember the first year, but I do remember the second. And I got to this particular date, and my girlfriend at the time, she'd even baked me a little cake, and that was cute, you know. For my second one, so I went to a meeting, of course, you know, and I said, oh, 2 years, and I don't know why, but I can only conclude that it's because most alcoholics that I know are not very good at counting beyond one, you know, because when the doctor says how much you drank, it's only a couple, you know, we can count to two, we can't count beyond two, you know, can't count one, and that's all this the philosophy about, you know, you don't take the first one. Now, I'd always thought it was like the eighth or the ninth, and I wanted to stop at three or four, but I couldn't actually count that like that way, you know. So what have I done? Because I was seeing the times going through now. What have I done with my sobriety? Well, I sort of put my foot. I was on the telephone doing telephone duty on regular basis. Became the telephone liaison officer and all that nonsense. Then they all got rather snooty and snitchy with me, you know. Perhaps there was some jealousy floating around, but I spoke to some of my members that was close to me, including the four guys. Do you know the three or four guys that I used to bump shoulders with? They're still around, and it's a bloody long time later. Do you know how long? Well, you're going to find out. There you go. I fell down. There you go. If you're good at Roman numerals, you are. If you're not, you're not. Right. But, I've been so privileged. I really have been so privileged to be around AA for this lot of time. Now, there's a lot of things that irritate me about the Zoom groups, and there's a lot of things. There's very few that I've left, though. There was one fella, he was saying, the difference between the men, he was an Irishman, the difference between the men and the boys in AA is that they follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Well, I let him say it once and get away with it. The second time, I just stood up, I walked out of that meeting, I got in my car and I drove to the nearest other meeting, and I spoke to a member after, Big Roy, the insurance bloke, and he said, we do have a few bampots lurk around, you can't help it, you know, and this sort of thing. And usually it's these people that go, you've got to do this and you've got to do it. I was recounting a situation, you know, within the last year, and there was a fella, and they had the WhatsApp group and their own chit chat in the WhatsApp, and seems an awful lot of shit goes on in there that I don't approve of, and I certainly don't like the people who cannot divide spirituality and sobriety and religion. Keep religion out. If religion kept us sober, we'd all go back to church. There'd be no bloody need for AA, and we all live happily ever after. Well, no, it didn't quite work that way. And I found that the way that makes it work for me is you know, I don't treat everyone like an arsehole. No one treats me like an arsehole, and we all get along happy. And I really don't know how it works. I really don't bloody well care, you know, but there's the thing. It works. It's done me well for 40 odd years. Whoa, ho, I've had it at last. And yet I still find this little card, I find that a tall order. I find it a tall order. It's great to be here. And there's my picture of I haven't been to the moon, but it's on the bucket list. No, it's not. I've been to some places, been some great places. And I hope to be going to Canada in 2025 for the international convention. Oh, right, I've talked too fucking much, Dave. Help me out here. Thank you very much.